Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit in the desert, where for 40 days he was tempted by the devil. He ate nothing during those days, and at the end of them he was hungry. The devil said to him, "If you are the Son of God, tell this stone to become bread." Jesus answered, "It is written, man does not live on bread alone." The devil led him up to a high place and showed him in an instant all the kingdoms of the world, and he said to him, "I will give you all their authority and splendor, for it has been given to me, so I can give it up to anyone I want to. So if you worship me, it will all be yours." Jesus answered, "It is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only." The devil led him to Jerusalem and had him stand on the highest point of the temple. "If you are the Son of God," he said, "throw yourself down from here, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you to guard you carefully. They will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone." Jesus answered, "It is said, do not put the Lord your God to test." When the devil had finished all this tempting, he left him until an opportune moment.
Jesus had to choose a path. He'd been given this mission impossible, this one chance to succeed mission, and he couldn't afford to have it fail. Because we were at stake. Our lives, our futures, our eternities, our relationships with God was at stake. He couldn't afford to choose the wrong path because he had just one chance to get this right. And in the passage that Sophia's just read for us, Jesus had to make a choice. The devil came to try and put him off track, tried to get him off the right path and onto different ones, ones that wouldn't take him to the cross and wouldn't take him to our salvation and our freedom. Yes. The first path that the devil tried to get Jesus to go down was the path of to stop trusting in God altogether. You see, Jesus had gone into the desert and he was hungry and he was thirsty. And the devil knew full well the power Jesus had. So in order to get him off the right path, the devil said to Jesus, "Stop trusting in God. Turn those stones into bread. You're hungry. You've got power to do this. Stop trusting in God. Trust in yourself. Use your own power, because you can do this. You can turn the stone into bread." How often are we tempted to trust in our own power? Now, I don't know about you, but I don't have the ability to turn stone into bread. Although if you've ever had any of my baking, you might think I have the ability to turn bread into stone. But nonetheless, we don't have these powers, but we do have the same choice. When does the devil tempt you to go down this path, to stop trusting in God and to trust in yourself instead? The second path, with the same picture, was about seeking power. The devil then said to Jesus, "I will give you all the power." That's what you're here for, right, Jesus? To be powerful, to be king of the world, all you have to do is kneel down to me. But Jesus knew that he was on this one path, this one chance to save us all, and that he would only bow down to the Father, only bow down to God, that he would never bow down to the devil. He would never submit to the devil, even if the devil could promise him the literal world. We all get tempted by this path. We all get tempted, don't we? To have a bit more power in our lives and to have it instantly. I won't ask of you I won't ask you to put your hands up if you're a member of Amazon Prime, but we're all tempted by it. Let's not pretend like we're not. To have power instantly, to have whatever we want delivered instantly, to have music instantly, TV instantly. Has anyone noticed that they now bring shows out on Netflix in like 3 or 4 episodes at a time? They know we don't want to wait a whole week anymore to watch the next episode. They know that we just want to consume it all now. We don't want to have to wait. And how much of that also applies to the rest of our lives? The devil tried to tempt Jesus by saying, you can have all the power now. Your mission can basically succeed, Jesus, right now. But at what cost? When do you get tempted to settle for some power and some success now, rather than holding on for what Jesus and God have in store for you? I know I get tempted sometimes to try and take shortcuts. The third path that the devil tried to tempt Jesus to go down was to become famous. Jesus, you're here to be king of the world, not just the power. You're here to be famous, because being famous would make your mission so much easier. They're at the top of the temple now. The devil's transported them there, and he says, just step off. Angels will catch you and take you down. I mean, is there a more grand entrance than that? Stepping off the top of the temple, into the temple courts, being gently carried down by angels. I'm not sure Ethan Hunt in his harness makes quite a good introduction to himself, as Jesus would have at that point. And imagine how easy it would have been for Jesus. Imagine how easy it would have been to convince people of his mission, to get people on side, to tell people that I'm doing this and I really have the power to do it. Because they would have seen it. He would have been famous. He would have been famous. I think in the new kind of social media generation, more than ever before, we've been wanting those 5 minutes of fame. How many of us have plans to become TikTok famous? Now, if you're in the older generations, or even mine, you might not. But that's a valid thought that goes through people's minds now when they're at school. This is now what I want to be. I want to get my 5 minutes of fame on TikTok, maybe. We all get trapped into the idea of, if only I could be more well-known, be more popular, have more friends, have a bigger, better family even, I don't know. Maybe the world would be better. Maybe I could do what I want to do better. And Jesus must have been tempted to say, yeah, people would turn to me. But he also knew that if he did that, he'd be giving up the mission that God had given him. He knew that if he gave up on this mission, that it would cost everything. So Jesus was given 3 different paths that he could go down. We're all tempted in the same sort of ways. The path of trusting in himself, the path of seeking power, and the path of becoming famous. Now here's the question. I want to do a bit of a vote here. What did Jesus do? Who thinks that he went down path 1, the path of trusting in himself? Oh, good, good, good. Who thinks he went down path 2 of seeking power? Good, good, good. I hope at home your hands have stayed down for the first 2. How about the final one? Did he go down the path of becoming famous? My son just giving the wrong answer there, but you're good, you're good. No, he didn't, did he? Whereas we often fail, let's be honest here, we often fail and go down one of these paths where we often get tempted by Jesus and we make mistakes. Jesus, on his Mission Impossible, his one chance to succeed, cost him everything mission, chose the fourth path. Tempted by everything imaginable to get his mission done, Jesus chose the final path. The path of loving, trusting, and believing in God. He chose to have his faith in God alone. And ultimately, that was the path of the cross. It would cost him his life, but he chose to stay strong even when he was being tempted. He chose to not give in and to persevere.
Then Jesus said to his disciples, "If anyone would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me."
So, Jesus chose to walk the path of the cross. It was the most difficult path he could have chosen. But it's the only one that led to us being able to sit here today having a relationship with the Father. Think about that. This wasn't one in a million. This was one in infinity. This was a one chance. Just as well that nothing really is impossible for God. But the mission extends to us. In this period of Lent, when we're going towards Easter, this mission applies to us. We need to think, how can I join in with Jesus' mission? How can I choose the right path? How can I choose to say no to sin and yes to love? Now, we've just thought of some ways together that we were going to say no to sin. And this is giving you fair warning that I'm going to ask you to do the same. To think of ways that we can say yes to love. To the people around us that we care about, that we love, our families, to people that we meet on the street, to strangers even, to our colleagues, to people who are in class with us. Whether or not they're our friends. Maybe they're not our friends. But we still need to say yes to love. So, this side went first last time, so I'm going to throw it over to this side. Can I get a shout out? What ways can we say, yes to love?
Be patient.
Be patient. That's such a great one. Okay, this side. How can we say yes to love?
Give to those in need.
Give to those in need. Thank you. Come on, let's come on back. Say again.
Show kindness.
Show kindness. How often do we walk past someone and not show kindness when it would really just take an extra 30 seconds to say thank you or to do something? Probably a little too often. How about on this side? Last one. Final way that we can say yes to love.
Forgive them.
Thank you. You've stolen my last point. Probably the most important one, that Jesus did all of this. He said yes to love and no to sin so that we could be forgiven. How important, therefore, is it that we also forgive other people? Whether or not they've stolen your toy and not given it back and they're not sharing. Whether they've stolen praise that you deserve because you worked hard for it at work. Whether or not they've stolen the credit because they said they unstacked the dishwasher when really it was you. Forgive. So there are so many ways that we need to make sure that we are walking the path of the cross in the build up to Easter, saying no to sin and yes to love.